Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It's time for us to get into our next segment, which is the Grow Model. And in our Grow Model, we are trying to talk about family matters, particularly family worship dynamics. And to conclude on this Friday, we're talking about the ripple effect. Family worship isn't just about today, right? It's about laying a foundation that echoes into generations long after we, the parents, are dead. The way we lead our family in worship, especially in moments of vulnerability and sacrifice, that will leave a legacy, whether a legacy of faith or sometimes a legacy of doubt, or hopefully a legacy of resilience. But the question is, are we conscious? Are we aware? Are we consciously shaping the spiritual destiny of the next generation? Or are we merely passing on religious routines? That's our conversation for today. Pastor Pambana, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me once again. We want to thank God for another golden opportunity just to talk about
it. To try and bring yourself closer to the device or the device closer to you so that we can be able to hear you.
I've tried to bring myself closer to the device and the device closer to me. I hope you can hear me.
Thank you. Or maybe you could speak a bit louder, or I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do our family worship choices today, Pastor, influence our children's view of God tomorrow?
Maybe would you just allow me to talk about not only our worship, our family worship choices, but all the choices that we make as families, as couples and spouses, the way we treat each other as a mother and a father before we have our children and after we have them. Isn't God gave us these names to use? When we are calling him, we call him Father, just for us to have a clear understanding.
Right.
Because of these epistemological barriers, we may never really understand who he really is. And therefore, he gave us the names Father. We can refer to him as the Father. So as we're trying to get God into our, to instill godliness into our, in our children's minds and hearts, we teach them how to worship him. We teach them how to pray and say, our Father who is in heaven. So if they are saying, our Father who is in heaven, in their mind, they have a picture of a real Father. And the only Father that they have, the only Father that they know, is the Father that they have at home. Which is why I have said, it is not only the choices that we make with our family worship, but the choices, all the choices that we make as a family, in everything that we do, the way we treat each other and all.
Yeah.
All gives them a picture of who God is. Whether we like it or not, we are giving them a picture of God. And we might be misrepresenting God without knowing it. We might be misrepresenting God to them without knowing it. And now, as we are worshiping, in family worship, our choices shape their perception of God's character. You remember, at Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think we quoted it, is it yesterday or the day before yesterday? Verse 4, all the way to verse 7, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone, he is one, you must love the Lord your God. It goes on to say, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you go to bed and when you get up. So what we choose to do with family worship definitely has an impact on our, on their perception of God, on how they view God.
Okay. So what about us and our faith, Pastor? Are we intentional about passing on genuine faith, or are we just settling for routine?
It's sad to say, most commonly, we are just settling for for the routine. And the danger with that, the danger with it is that we shift worship from spirituality to religiosity. It stops, it ceases to be spiritual, and it starts to be religious, just like the Pharisees. And remember, Jesus warned against such when he called the Pharisees, the Sadducees, hypocrites. Matthew 23, he says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are official. Underline the word official. There's routine there. They are official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they preach. But now, instead of this, instead of the routine, we ought to model authentic faith and not just the routine. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? That is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where he said, I remember your genuine faith. The faith is genuine. For you share the faith. It is the same faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am convinced that you still have the faith in you. So we need to model this genuine faith. We need to model this authentic faith to our children. And not just the routine. They have to get it as it is supposed to be to them. And not just the routine. You know, you remember the daily routine. I think we talked about it on Tuesday. So it is dangerous just to follow the routine instead of giving them the real faith.
All right. I'm really struggling to hear. Maybe if we were to be able to take you out of speaker, if you're out of speaker and speaker, I don't know. Yeah, so that we can be able to hear you. So what legacy do you want to leave, Mfundis, through our worship at home? What legacy do you want to leave? Authenticity? Resilience? Trust? What exactly do we want to do?
I think it must be all three of them. Authenticity, resilience, and trust. Knowing God. Remember, we said worship is about God. It's not about the worshippers. It's not about the creatures, but it is about the Creator. It is not about the ones worshipping or the worshippers, but the one who is being worshipped. That's what it is. And we need to leave a legacy of trust in the one we worship. We need to leave a legacy of authenticity, to be authentic, to be sincere, to be transparent, to be reliable. I mean, to fully rely, that is trust, right? To fully rely on the one we are worshiping. Remember the other day we talked about being honest with our weaknesses, with our struggles, with our trials, with our troubles, all that. That's the legacy we must live with them. They must know that whether things are good or things are bad, God is God and He needs to be worshipped. And God is always good, all the time. And all those things, remember we said when the burdens grow greater, God added his grace. He just keeps on adding his grace. All those things, those are the things that we must live with them.
Yeah. Right. So how can moments of vulnerability today prepare our children for future spiritual challenges? Just lay that bare for us.
How moments of vulnerability can prepare our children for future spiritual challenges. It should be like a gym session, right? Or a training session in preparation for the real trek. They must prevail in the obstacle, in the current obstacle courses, for them to be able to tackle the hurdles that come their way in the future. They must know that God is always there for us. We may be hard pressed, but never crushed. We may be depressed, but never in despair. We may be going through. You know how these young people will always say, "Ah, we are going through." You know how they say it. We must. They must know. Our children must know that we may be going through stuff. But as we are going through stuff, God goes through the stuff with us. They must remember what God said to us in Isaiah 43, where he says, "Remember, I created you, I formed you, you are mine. When you go through the fire, I am with you. When you go through the flooded rivers, I am with you." All those things. They must know that the trials are there to perfect us. You know, just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, going downwards, he says, "We want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we experienced in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead." You know, all those things. The testimonies are there to give them strength, to strengthen them, so that they will know that after the test comes the testimony. After the valley comes the victory. After the crown of thorns comes the, after the cross comes the crown of victory, the royal crown.
Lovely.
So something like that.
Wonderful, yes. Wonderful. Here's my final question. I'll let you go, Pastor. Are we willing to confront the uncomfortable truths about our family's faith journey to build a lasting legacy, perhaps?
Are we willing? That's a very good question, I must admit. Are we willing to confront the uncomfortable truths about our family's faith journey to build a lasting legacy? Are we willing to do that? I would say, please go ahead and ask these African parents of ours. They will tell you better. The honest truth is that we are not willing to confront them. But honestly speaking, confronting truth fosters growth and authenticity. Because the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged, a double-edged sword. Cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. We must do that. We must confront the uncomfortable truth. I mean, the skeletons are there in the closet. They are there in the closet. We have these skeletons. I mean, the past, the history is not good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound any good. But the future, really, the present and the future, especially the future, is very, very much better than the past. And mind you, we must always remember and know that we are all God's projects in progress. We have a history where we are coming from. And right now, presently, where we also have a future to get to. So remember, there is for every saint, there is a history, and for every sinner, there is a future. You remember all those things. So we must be in a position of being able to confront these ugly truths about our family's faith journey to build a lasting legacy. Tell them that, hey, your grandmom was the greatest nganga known in the area. Tell them that your grandfather was a wizard. But here we are today because of God's grace. They will know what God's grace does for them. I think that's what it is, my brother.
It's easier said than done, but I appreciate your
insight. Easier said than done.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, man. So I guess we're going to have to talk about this some other time again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, thank you ever so much for your time and your insights. We appreciate you. May God bless you and your ministry. Until next time, have a wonderful day further. And a happy preparation
day. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful one. God bless you.
Thank you, Mfundisi.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.